don't know, you think that's too much time, because I don't understand it. Maybe it's fun. Wow.
Well, you gotta look at some of your colleagues from a different perspective.
You already had that KP dude up there.
Look, how is this campaign changed your perception?
Part of the job?
Well, the job and the relationship with the board. How do you feel? What do you feel at this point? You feel you've changed? There's a harshness, it's probably a rhetoric in the last there's a harshness, I think, given your rhetoric in the last 45
minutes.
Yeah, well, I know that, but it's just voice itself. And I'm well aware of the fact that you're getting caught with on the outside. I'm covering you, and that's one of the problems with this kind of thing. Simply, we cheap shot at you all the time. We don't get the shot at the other guy. But do you feel that this provocation is there, that you keep calling one of your friends, and then you hit up a ballot?
Well, I want Fritz to know I'm out here working.
Well, I think you probably got the idea.
I wouldn't want you to think he was out here all day. No, I don't know. I don't have any changes. I know it in Fred hostility towards Carter, but I think I guess the longer you're on the trail, the more you sort of get.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be on the ground in 1 minute.
I have been stressing his defense record on the Carter's no cut. Besides that, we've been sticking on the PAC thing. We've gotten on the playboy here lately. But I don't think we have gotten harsh in the sense of the first one.
You want to take that away?
The milk.
No, grab the milk. A lot of working people in the show.
showing up at meetings. So maybe they, you know, they're, give them hell, Bob, you know, give it to them, you know. I don't see you. You know, win elections, people say give them hell. There's a lot of people out there who won elections. They're not all fat cats. They're working men and women. They want somebody to speak up for them. So I don't know what. And of course, we were carrying the ball pretty much alone there. Trying to get Jerry to ball, but Jerry didn't. That old thing. Jerry didn't want the ball. So you're satisfied up to the point, you know, there is a lot more attention to the standpoint of the press.
Let's change us and our attitude to you.
I don't think so. I'm still bad as ever.
I agree.
You can quote me. Thanks a lot. You can walk to California. No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know if any. I'd probably be safer.
Very few radio.
I get you almost proud of you too much. You see some little lady standing back there wanting to sign something or some little child, and everybody's pushing you to go, and I guess I'm still not hardened enough, or, you know, I want to say hello to those people, and I think they really feel it.
Cabin attendants, prepare the doors for arrival, please.
Some of these people, they walk in and pop in, pop off, and pop out. And I think people got to know that, well, they have to judge somebody. They can't do that if you're on the run, don't have time to say hello. The other side is that you're late everywhere. Good. Come on up, my leader.
We're old friends.
Well, this is our first visit to Indiana this year. I've been here a number of times before, as you know. And
1970.
I haven't seen the latest poll in Indiana. How are we doing?
We're doing well.
Great. Well, I'll do my best not to change anything if we're ahead. Beyond that, I don't have anything unless someone asks some questions. It's colder.
State Republican Party chairman today said President Ford's visit here Thursday, and I mentioned your visit here today and tomorrow, is particularly important in shoring up the uncommitted vote in Indiana. What do you see that you and your running mate, the president, will have to do as far as shoring up that uncommitted vote in the state?
Well, what we've tried to do as we've traveled around is to encourage our people not only to vote, but to get their friends and neighbors aboard and really go after these next 7 days. We think we've had some success. We've had good crowds, enthusiastic crowds. We're in this final crunch where everybody's thinking about the election. And I just hope that our visit here and Terre Haute and Evansville will stress how important we consider Indiana to be. And of course, the president's coming in to Indianapolis on Thursday.
Originally, the Ford Dole ticket wasn't scheduled to come back to Indiana at all. Why the sudden change of heart?
Well, I didn't know we weren't. In fact, I was scheduled in earlier in the campaign. We had to change that, so we're happy to be here. I don't know if we'll be back again, but I wouldn't rule it out. Rule out anything. We are going to win, and it's coming together just about right. And next Tuesday night, at this time, I'll probably be
getting my victory statement ready.
How critical a state is Indiana?
It's critical.
How critical?
On a scale of 10? 10.
Yeah.
10.
Very valuable, we think, right now. We're somewhat ahead in the state of Indiana, but the importance, I think, can be underscored by the fact the president's coming in tomorrow. I'll be making 3 stops today. I assume that I think Senator Mondale is coming in to Gary, Indiana. So it's a very important state for both sides.
What is your reaction to the national polls showing Jimmy Carter ahead in most states and a lot of states kind of thought about it?
Well, that's the key. I mean, I think it's sort of up for grabs. I think the election is still out there. We believe that the movements in our direction in some of these states, I understand about 25 to 30, are within 3 points, just that close, and the margin of error in any poll. So we hope by next Tuesday that they'll swung it up in our direction for a clear victory.
Indiana's kind of a conservative state, and yet it's a toss-up. Would you see that as an indication that there's no clear delineating difference between the 2 presidential candidates?
Oh, I don't think so. I think there may be some apathy in Indiana, as we find everywhere, but I think most of the apathy, that's the part that concerns Governor Carter more than the President Ford. This is, of course, in the primary Reagan country, but I think we're pretty well back together. I haven't found the apathy yet. Maybe I could answer that question better after today. But it seems to me that we have the enthusiasm. Now, it's been showing up in our rallies since our debate with Mondale. It's really out there, and we're going to try to capitalize on it and, you know, try to get our friends to go to work past the last few days.
President Ford's latest criticism of Jimmy Carter is on his statement that the United States would not militarily intervene if Russia came into Yugoslavia upon the death of Tito. Don't you think that is a much more realistic assessment of what we would do?
I don't know, but as I tried to state yesterday and finally clarified it so the press would understand it, you don't telegraph your intentions. You don't tell someone in advance whether you're playing foreign policy or any other business transaction or anything else. You try to reserve what your options might be. You don't say in advance, don't worry about Yugoslavia, we're not going to do anything. It's much like Carter's statement on Italy, where he said we should extend the hand of friendship to communist leaders there. That doesn't do much for the non-communists.
Well, don't you think the Russians already know that if we say anything like that, it's merely Cold War-style saber-rattling, that's it?
No, I think it was just poor judgment on Governor Carter's part. Another indication that he's very naive when it comes to foreign policy. He's talked about withdrawing troops from Europe, and at least Senator Mondale voted that way. He's talked about removing troops from South Korea. I just believe that it's a very naive approach to a very important subject matter, and that's another thing that helps President Ford these last few days.
But don't you think the Russians believe that we recognize this is more or less an internal matter based on our agreement with Helsinki?
I can't speculate on what the Russians believe, but we have enough trouble trying to find out what Carter says.
In the United States, Reagan has not done all that much to campaign for the Ford Dole ticket. What is your reaction to that?
I think he's done a great deal. He's had some spots. I've appeared with him on 2 occasions. President Ford has been with him on 2 occasions. He's been all over this country trying to help Republican members of Congress. He's talked about the platform. He's talked about the Ford Dole ticket.
You don't see his refusal on occasion to appear with President Ford as an indication that there's still a rift between the 2 factions?
No, we find that everywhere we go. I don't fault the press. They're looking to see, to make certain that every Republican shows up, and if not, there's always a story that so-and-so wasn't there. Well, so-and-so may have been somewhere else doing some very important work on behalf of President Ford. But I don't try to account for Governor Reagan's absence or presence. He's out there working for the ticket, and that's the important thing.
Indiana is a very heavy farm state. Would you be able to give us any indication at all who's going to be the next Secretary of Agriculture?
No, but my recommendation would be, and I think my recommendation will have some strength, be an active farmer, someone with an active farm background, versed in agriculture.
Any name?
No, I've seen a list of 20-some names. I haven't seen a list. They were read to me on the telephone 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Who were some of the top candidates?
Oh, I'd rather not get into them. I don't have all 25, so I'm not going to mention any, but they were outstanding men in the field of agriculture. Some were educators, some were active farm background, some were farm leaders. But I think President Ford decided then that he just couldn't really pursue a talent search in that short a time.
The national polls show that less than 50% of the voters are going to turn out. A lot of people are reading this as an indication that a sizable group of the American population are turned off by both candidates.
Well, we hope they're more turned off by Carter. I don't know how it breaks down, but just seems to me, and we're going to be talking all this week to the mothers and others, when you stop to think about America with all the problems we have, and we have some, we are at peace, and we're strong, we're respected, and that's because of President Ford's leadership, and I believe a lot of these people are going to go to the polls and vote for continued peace and strength.
Thank you. In no circumstances would he have pulled the grain of flag over the United States. If you're doing similar to that, would you say absolutely no circumstances you would have pulled the grain of flag over?
Well, I think you have to have the one reservation that I've had throughout. I'm flatly opposed to grain embargoes, and have said so long ago when they were imposed. In the case of some national emergency, if you had a crop failure or ran well below domestic supplies, domestic needs, then you might have an embargo. But essentially the answer is yes, there will be no grain embargoes under the Ford Dole administration.
You would, however, hold open the option in the case of some catastrophe.
Oh, I think anyone has to hold open that option, because our first responsibility must be to American consumers. But it's just not going to happen. I mean, I assume the chances might be 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000.
But in such a case, you'd be urging the president to temper his stand with absolutely no
one. I don't think it would be tempering his stand. I think it would be consistent with the national interest.
Regarding some of the remarks Senator Mondale has made, you expressed dismay that you were bringing up the fact that the Democrats, or the accusation that the Democrats were responsible for World War II. An issue like that, what importance does that actually have in 1976?
Not as much as Watergate that they keep bringing up, and I said it in that context in our debate. They're always talking about the unemployment and the great economy under the Democrats, and they fail to mention that, of course, that it's based on a war economy. And I suggested in our debate, and if someone reads the transcript, it's there. If it's fair to drag up the Watergate and suggest by bringing it up that somehow President Ford was tainted by it, or I was tainted by it, or any other Republican in this country, then we can discuss some other past actions like Vietnam or Korea.
Is that an indication of the tenor of this campaign, the level of personal attacking that's gone on?
I don't see any personal attack there.
Fight after us, I should have said party attacking, but actually dealing more towards personality than party. In other words, a trading of accusations rather than a positive attitude.
I think we have a very positive campaign, but when Senator Mondale, as he does, announces last week that neither Ford nor Dole are fit to run for dog catcher, and makes other references to General Brown not fit to be a sewer commissioner, those are highly personal accusations. Very low road to which Mondale has been traveling since the campaign started. So then he stands up in our debate and the view of millions of people and say, well, we can understand why Dole is the hatchet man. Mm-hmm. So I know Senator Mondale, and I know his capacity. I know that he's very rough around the edges. That's his right. We're going to win this campaign because we're at peace and because President Ford's an honest, decent man. And they can take the low road. That's where they've been.
Senator Dole, you're going to be the second man in line for the presidency. You're the first in line if you and Ford win.
Right.
What would you have done in the butt situation?
I think it was handled pretty well. Again, Carter criticized the president for not just saying, out you go. Mm-hmm. But I talked to Secretary Butts during a crisis for him, and he was putting it all together, and I think he knew what he had to do, and he did it.
And you would have acted the same as the president did.
Well, I don't have all the facts. I had one conversation with Secretary Butts before it happened, and he indicated to me that it would probably cause be an embarrassment. I think he acted, Secretary Butts acted, I think, the responsible way. He didn't want to embarrass the president. And I think he was handled properly.
Regarding,
I'm often wondering what the Democrats might do in a similar, this quick to find fault, whether it's Earl Butts or Clarence Kelly or George Wallace or the late President Johnson. Governor Carter can just find fault with everyone. It's a strange behavior.
Perhaps a follow-up question to that. Would you have pardoned President Nixon as President Ford did?
Well, so you're going back into the Watergate. It's like talking about whether John Kennedy should have sent combat troops to Vietnam. There are a lot of Americans killed there. Whether there should have been an invasion in Korea and all these things keep dropping back into history.
What I'm wondering is what sort of presidential decision you would have made in a case.
Well, again, I don't have all those facts, and it's 2 years and some months later now, and I said at the time it was premature. But hindsight is always much better, and I can understand now with all the pressures on the president to do a lot of other things for America, he probably made the right choice.
You resent the title of Patchett Man?
Who gave it to me?
Many people have referred to you as such, and many people have accused you of
that. For what purpose?
This is what I'm asking you. Is there any credence to that?
No, none at all. I mean, I think the Hatchet Man called me the Hatchet Man.
Thank you, Senator. To reinforce support among Indiana Republicans or to go for the large and competitive state?
Well, I guess it might be a combination. We're really here to try to help us carry Indiana. That cuts across, and we'll be talking, hopefully, Democrats may be viewing this interview. We may be getting the word out to Democrats and independents that there is a large uncommitted block out there, as high as probably 10% to 20% in some areas, and it's only a week before the election, so we're going to be trying to address ourselves to their concerns.
On the subject of the economy, let's assume that the business community was to hire unemployed right now. Many Republicans are against government employment, these state workers, due to the what is felt to be unnecessary stimulation of the economy. Why is it assumed that private sector employment of these same people does not cause inflation?
Well, five out of our every six jobs now are in the private sector, and that's where we go when we really want stimulus, to go to the private sector. That's been President Ford's concern from the start, that we didn't get short-term.
So does President Ford want stimulus from the private sector now?
Well, he wants to, that's why he's working so hard to cut down inflation and bring down interest rates and do other things to stimulate the private sector.
Well, wouldn't
federal jobs are dead-end jobs.
Wouldn't that in turn increase inflation?
No, he's restraining federal spending at the same time. The inflation's been cut in half. 88 million people are working in America, the highest number ever. And we just can't focus, and we've got to take care of the unemployed. Don't misunderstand me. We've got to also focus on those 88 million people who are working. They want to keep their jobs while we're trying to stimulate the private sector to pick up the slack in unemployment.
The oil cartel is considering more price increases. Perhaps in December we'll know the results of this consideration. What is the Ford administration doing now?
Right now?
Right.
I assume there are probably some negotiations going on. I can't say that for a fact, but I would guess that we're doing everything we can not to discourage any higher prices and maybe encourage lower prices, but I don't have any information on what we're doing at this second.
Well, as far as oil importation is concerned, more oil is being imported now than was during the 1973 embargo. Is this a failure of government?
There you're a Democrat Congress, yes. The liberals, the Democrat Congress, they want to roll back. Well, all they want to do is roll back the prices, take away the incentives for those in that business to go out and look for oil and gas, and then complain about the imports. Now, they can't have it both ways. And if we're going to have exploration in this country, you've got to let your independent producers make a profit.
Are you speaking specifically of the oil depletion allowance?
Oil depletion allowance and deregulation, anything that might encourage production. You can't handcuff the free enterprise system and say, go out and do something. You're not going to do it. If the large oil companies in America make an excess profit, it's fine. We'll make them put that back into exploration. But let's not hamstring an industry and then complain about the lack of energy.
What does the Ford administration plan for helping the cities?
Well, the president, of course, is a strong proponent of revenue sharing. That's the biggest help to the cities. And I might add that Governor Carter once called revenue sharing a hoax. He really isn't for revenue sharing, but it's passed the Congress because of the personal efforts of President Ford.
That's the one big thing. He also has a strong proponent of mass transit, and the Community Development Act. This is a new program under President Ford. We have our other programs, whether it's for those who may be in need in cities, food stamps, or what have you, but they're strong programs. In addition, of course, the President, to help unemployment in the urban areas, would grant special tax preferences to businesses who settle in a place with 7% or more unemployment rate. So there are a number of good programs the President has been pursuing.
You mentioned last night you were in your mini press conference there at the airport that by next Tuesday you hope to be giving your victory speech. How sure are you that you're going to win this election?
Well, I don't know. I've been in many elections and I've never gone around preparing in advance a victory declaration.
What does it say? Give us a preview.
I said I don't do it in advance. I try to wait for the first returns, and you know, if they came in from New Hampshire, I might want to mention Snows in New Hampshire in my first line. If it came in from Vermont, I'd mention maple syrup or something. I want to keep it, you know, interesting, and depending on where the first returns come from California, which they will not, and I hope they get some good returns from Indiana. No, I don't have any reaction. I understand the Nesson released the letters. I hadn't even read the article in the morning papers. The fact is that President Ford did not grant the interview, and there's no article in Playboy by President Ford, and there is one by Governor Carter. Those are the facts.
Senator, economic indicators have been going down. Gross national product is slowing up a little bit. Inflation rate has gone up the last couple of months.
It went down the last month.
It went down last month, right. But after following an upward trend. What do you credit this to? Is this really a slowdown in the economy?
All these high-powered economists, which I'm not one of them, say it's a pause. And all the economists, including Carter's advisors, indicate that we're going to end up strong in this next quarter and also in the next year as far as recovery is concerned. Unemployment's going to be tough, but it ought to be nibbled away. I don't know what their goal is by the end of next year. But I'm not discouraged. The housing starts are up and interest rates are down, and inflation rate's been cut in half, and there are 88 million people working. You know,
let's interpret that pause now into the effect on the campaign and the uncommitted voters.
I don't know. It's hard to, unemployment is an issue that they capitalize on. Cutting inflation is one that we capitalize on. I don't know how it cuts. I really don't know. I haven't seen any surveys whether people will stay at home or whether they say, well, it makes any difference. I don't know.
Why should uncommitted voters in Indiana vote for the Ford-Dole ticket as opposed to the Carter-Mondale ticket?
One overriding reason is that we have a man who has experience and who's demonstrated leadership and is for a strong America, strong defense for the sake of peace, while they want to cut it to pieces.
What about the national pollsters who are giving the Carter ticket the edge at this point?
I think he probably has the edge. I think it's that close. I really think it's these last few days are going to make the difference, and Carter's going to try to sustain his lead. We're going to try to cut away at it.
Are you and the President an underdog at this point?
Well, I don't know whether they're underdogs. I think it's probably a dead heat. But we're not running for dog catcher, as Senator Mondale said we weren't fit to do.
You seem to agree, then, that the uncommitted is going to be the
decision. I think there are 10 to 20% out there still undecided. That's what we're told. That's a lot of undecided voters in a national election a week before, 6 days now.
Let's say you don't muster the uncommitted in Indiana like you'd hope to. What would that mean?
I think our lead is substantial enough here that we're in fair shape. But let's face it, we want the undecided. They're not going to get all the undecided in any event, neither are we. So it's going to probably break the way maybe the polls indicate now. But in other words, if you're ahead 40-30, then you might pick up that same proportion or higher of the undecided. But it just seems to us that we have the advantage. There may be a lot of people out there who might vote for Carter if they don't understand Carter, either from a personal basis or what his positions are, and they may have some reservation about President Ford. But if they're still undecided at this point, we believe that they're going to walk into that booth or on the way to the polling booth, reflect about America, and vote for Ford.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.